Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Our first order of business for this evening will be the revised agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time, Madam Secretary?
I think there are. Mr. Sharp, did you want to?
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there's one that's listed on our old business, case number 11106, Alice P. Robinson. We had received some, you may recall this was the one where we had some cases that were sent over to me to look at. I think it'd be easier to hear that one first on the agenda if we could, since I'll need to discuss some of the cases that are at hand there, and I think it'd be easier to do that while it's still fresh before we hear a lot of new cases tonight. So if you could put that as the first one on the agenda after all of the normal approval of minutes, findings, facts, and so forth, that would be helpful.
All right, sir. Are there any other additions or corrections?
There are not.
Okay, hearing none? Do we have a motion?
So moved.
To approve the agenda and the request?
Yes, the request, too.
Okay, I have a motion. Do you have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
You have a motion by Mr. Workman and a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve this evening's revised agenda with the addition to move case number 11106 to our first case. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. And next, we'll have the approval of the minutes of our December the 17th and January the 7th meeting.
So moved.
Mr. Mills?
So moved.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our December and January the 7th meeting. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll have approval of the finding of the facts of the December the 17th and the January the 7th meeting.
So moved.
Have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Again, I have a motion by Mr. Mills with a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve the finding of the facts of our December the 17th and our January the 7th meetings. And again, all those in favor of the motion, give you the voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. Mr. Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and to ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and to be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant or any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board will then have the right to direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, then the public hearing is closed, and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a case listed under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. In addition, items under old business are usually considered after all of the new public hearings, and you're advised that it may be late in the evening when such matters come up. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we request that you turn it off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, we'll have the first case, please.
First case, 11106, Alice P. Robinson. This is under old business. This was tabled. And this was a variance from the required lot size requirement for a parcel, the minimum lot width for a parcel, and a corner side yard setback requirement.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to remind the board as to this case, I'm sure you may recall it. This was one that was held on December the 10th, and there were three lots and two half lots, and the applicant had proposed to do a subdivision, thereby creating four lots out of that group of lots. The gist of it is that each of those lots, there would need to be a square footage variance as well as a lot width variance. With one of the other lots, there's a need for they've requested a 5-foot variance for a corner lot setback. So that is one of the differences there. So there's essentially three types of variances that are being requested, although there are multiple lots that are involved. The hearing was held, and we had this, as you may recall, was the lengthy hearing that we had where there were opposition that was represented by counsel as well as the applicant who was represented by counsel. At that hearing, the opposition raised cited a few cases in their presentation. The applicant had asked for an opportunity to be able to review those cases and respond. The board voted to table the case to allow for that, and almost a briefing schedule was put in place where I hate to use that phrase, but that's analogous to what it was, where the applicant submitted a letter to Ms. Isaacs at the Planning and Zoning Office and copied me on it with their position on those cases, and then the opposition had an opportunity to respond. I've reviewed those cases. There were five in total that were cited between the two letters. What I had planned to do tonight was to go over all of those cases for you, give you a brief summary of what those cases are and what the party's position was as set forth in their letters was. I'm trying to keep those brief for you, but try to give you the meat of the cases. After that, this is a case that is, if you believe you're ready to vote on, you can discuss it and vote on it one way or another this evening if you wish. This was part of what we were looking at as well. So I'm going to start with the first case that had been cited was BET versus Board of Adjustment. It was a Delaware Supreme Court case regarding a Sussex County Board of Adjustment decision, I believe, from 1985. In that case, the board had denied a variance request. The applicant had a property that was 240 feet wide by 130 feet deep and wanted to divide it into three lots. There was a marina that was encroaching onto the parcel that left it to be a smaller usable space. The 10,000 square feet was what was required for the lot size, and the applicant was proposing 3 6,000 square feet lots. The court affirmed the board's decision to deny the application in that case. The court found that the applicant failed to show that the variance would not seriously affect the neighboring properties, that the hardship from the manner in which the applicant would like to subdivide the property that the hardship resulted from the applicant's desire to subdivide the property, not from particular features of the property itself. And the court also found the property could be developed for a reasonable use, even if that reasonable use was not the specific use the applicant had in mind. The opposition argued that this case was analogous to our case, and that the applicant in this case could reasonably use the property, even if the use was not the same as what the applicant sought. Specifically, they believe that Ms. Robinson could subdivide the property while meeting the zoning requirements, just not in the way in which she had applied. The applicant's argument was that the property had already been subdivided and the proposed lots will remain the same size as when they were created in 1929, and essentially would seek to just reshuffle the lot lines to allow for four lots. They believe that there is a distinguishment between the facts in this case from the BET case because there was no encroachment from adjacent properties that would diminish the size of the lots, which was the issue in the BET case. The second case that was cited by the opposition was a case called Yost v. Pomilio. This was a case from 2011. You may recall that we heard a case that kind of stemmed from this decision last year. It's a Delaware Superior Court decision regarding property in Broad Kill Beach where an applicant placed a house on a lot that encroached into a corner lot setback. The house was originally located on two lots. And just to be clear, there has been a more recent opinion related to this very property, but the issues in that decision were different than the ones that are set forth in the decision cited by the opposition. So I don't want you to be confused by saying, well, there was a more recent one. These are two separate issues, two separate animals, even though it's the same property. In this decision, the court reversed the board's approval of the variance application on grounds that the lot was not unique because it is the same size as other undersized lots in Broad Kill Beach. Therefore, it is not any less unique than other lots therein. The variance was not needed to reasonably use the property. The difficulty was created by the applicant because he wanted to keep the water views in his house. If you may recall, that was one where the house could have been rotated to fit on the lot. The opposition argued that the undersized lot in the current case that we're dealing with, the Robinson case, is not unique and does not support a variance approval, argues that the lots are the same size as the other lots in the neighborhood, similar to the lots within Broad Kill, and that since the lots are of the same size, there's no uniqueness to the lots. The applicant argued differently. They argued that there's been no structures placed on the property which are in noncompliance, which was the main issue in the Yost case, and that the case is otherwise distinguishable and does not apply to the facts in our case. The third case cited by the opposition was Verlason versus Board of Adjustment. It was a Delaware Supreme Court decision that came out last year. You may recall this was the one that we've had some discussions on in the past. This case, the applicant had built a shed and a barbecue area into a setback area without obtaining a building permit. The board denied a variance request, and the Supreme Court upheld that decision. In that decision, the Supreme Court held, and I quote, "A self-imposed hardship exists where a party comes to the restricted subject property with a particular unpermitted use in mind, mindful of the impossible area restrictions for that use." The court later held as well, and I quote, "By contrast, a hardship is not self-imposed if it results from inherent and pre-existing characteristics of the property." The court there found that the Verlason's preferred use of the land was the difficulty, not the particular features of the property. In other words, them placing the barbecue pit and the shed into that area, they had created the problem themselves. And the court also in that case cited the BET case, which we talked about just a few moments ago in its decision. The opposition argued that the applicant in this case has created the hardship and that they cannot create a self-imposed hardship and obtain a variance. They believe that the applicant created the hardship by proposing to subdivide the property in the manner they've proposed. The applicant has argued otherwise. They believe that the case is distinguished because the applicant hasn't done anything in noncompliance with the zoning code like Verlason. And that the lots were actually created prior to her acquisition of the properties. The applicant also cited three cases that are widely cited in a lot of zoning cases. One is Olney v. Cooch. It is a Delaware Supreme Court decision regarding a Superior Court appeal canceling a site permit granted by DENREC for erection of a residential structure on private waterfront land. The rule of law that's widely cited in that case, and there's kind of two points. One is that Substantial evidence is such relevant evidence as a reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion. Substantial evidence is more than a scintilla, but less than a preponderance. This case was again cited by the applicant and noted that any of the and noted that the decisions that the opposition cited require that substantial evidence be based, all decisions be based on substantial evidence. And that's something that, you all have been doing and should be doing with all your decisions, basing them on substantial evidence. The second case was Rollins v. Hollingsworth. It's, in that case, the applicant sought a special use exception. In that case, the applicant called no witnesses. The only presentation consisted of an oral statement by the attorney. And the court held that an applicant, in order to meet that substantial evidence requirement, they held that attorney's letters, arguments of counsel, unsigned reports, and unsupported, unauthenticated drawings do not constitute such evidence. In other words, substantial evidence. This was cited by the applicant in his letter that the arguments that the opposition have raised, the argument the applicant has raised is that the opposition's claims against this application were more generalized concerns unsupported by substantial evidence. The final case that was cited was a Court of Chancery decision regarding Gibson v. Sussex County Council. That was a conditional use application, and that is in regards to public comment. And in that, the decision, and I'll just quote you what was in the letter, public comment should be considered by the council, but the ultimately the county council's reasoning in denying a conditional use must be articulated and must relate to the statutory mandates. Where the objection of the community does not rationally advance the public health, safety, or welfare, but rather seeks simply to deny one property owner the right to do what others in the area are already doing, that opposition does not justify the denial of a conditional use application. I do note this is for conditional use, not for variance. The law requires that local governments deal with specific land use decisions in a rational, non-arbitrary manner guided by legislative standards of general application. Singling out of particular owners for idiosyncratic treatment just because the prevailing neighborhood wind is unfavorable is not acceptable when the property owner has met all of the criteria that the local government has established for the requested conditional use. Essentially, this case sets forth the proposition that the board or council or whomever must rely on, look at their standards and apply those standards when making a decision on a case regarding a property owner's rights. That was a case cited by the applicant. So I know that I've thrown a lot at you here with these, but these are the cases that were cited by both the by the parties. They both did a very nice job in their letters in setting forth those and I think is up to you all is I don't have a vote, so you're here to determine what your findings of the fact are and how those facts apply to the standards. So with that, I will turn it over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I certainly do appreciate that. All right, gentlemen, we've heard from Mr. Sharp. I'll start down with you both for any discussion.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of information, and thank you. That cleared up a lot of questions that I would possibly have, not being a lawyer, kind of clearing things up. But in looking at the Mrs. Robinson's request, this is the way I feel about it, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. I feel that the lots are not unique. They're the same lots that have been there for years. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that there's no physical circumstances or condition that would be supported by substantial evidence. And that's the key that Mr. Sharp has brought to our attention, that such relevant evidence as reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion. A reasonable mind. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to use a reasonable mind here.
Okay, very well.
Her property can be developed in strict conformity with the present zoning. She doesn't need it. Okay, doesn't need a variance there, a special use again. And the hardship for which she is seeking relief is directly caused by the applicant, I believe. That's my opinion.
Mr.
She's creating her own.
If I may interrupt, Mr. Rickard.
Sure.
I think that probably, certainly your views seem to be differ from mine. Mm-hmm. And rather than these folks sit here for a long discussion, I think would be unfair. I appreciate, like you, Mr. Sharp's explanations and so forth. And I think it would probably be in everyone here's best interest if we take this under advisement and and discuss it at the end of our meeting.
I'd be in favor of that.
Thank you. So moved.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we take case number 11106 under advisement.
You have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
You have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Mills. We take case number 11106 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
And Mr. Callaway, aye. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11106 has been taken under advisement. Okay. Thank you for that, gentlemen.
Okay.
I think that was the best interest.